God has really blessed me. You know, he let me work in D.C., let me work with EIB in Hollywood, in Silicon Valley. And he's shown me through all those experiences that there is one problem and one solution, and that's why we do this show.
Welcome to A Disciple's View with Todd Herman.
When the God of the universe created the world, he didn't snap his fingers or wink his eye. God spoke. He said, let there be light. And because we believe we speak about the happenings in this world and remain mindful that our true home is with Jesus Christ and his kingdom, welcome to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. So yes, Nikki Haley is going to head over to South Carolina. I wonder if that's big news to God. She's behind in the polls and is going to lose in her home state, it appears. And I do wonder if God cares. He cares about her. He cares about all of us. He loves us all very, very deeply. But often on this program, we begin by asking, what is the top story to God? There is all sorts of corruption coming out now in detail about January 6th. Behind the scenes, deleting of encrypted files, hundreds of them. I would just watch this morning a video that shows, it doesn't appear to show, it shows a guy on Nancy Pelosi's security team, an officer, walking around where he says he wasn't. He said he witnessed some oath keepers making apparently racist claims and charges and speaking horrible words to Officer Harry Dunn. But the video shows him being somewhere else. He wasn't there. And this was after Officer Dunn had changed his word. He said that the oath keepers were in fact helpful. But then his story changed. And then they weren't helpful. They were looking like they were going to assault him. They were rude. They were racist. That's weird, because then he said, plus, this officer from Nancy Pelosi's team was there, saw it all. But that's not what I saw in video. It's not what I saw at all. I wonder if that's God's top story. Now, it's a dangerous thing to try to think like the Almighty. It really is, because we can't. We can consult his word. We can consult other Christians. We can consult the body of Christ to think about what would be God's top focus. There's some cups we have at home, coffee cups. And we buy them from a woman named Gianna Jessen. Do you know who Gianna is? It's kind of tragic because Gianna is known kind of for one thing. Gianna survived an abortion. There was an attempt to kill her in the womb. It was a brutal attempt. And it has left Gianna scarred, but not spiritually scarred. See, the reason I say it's tragic is because she's a woman in whole. She has opinions on a whole range of things, life experience worth hearing. She wants more than anything, and she's told me a couple times on my podcast, more than anything to be a mom. But that would require marriage. You know, well, in her case, because she chooses to live by the word of God, with the word of God, to walk with Christ. And she's known only for that event. Not only. There are people who know her and know her as a joyful human being and someone who brings great, great, great points of view on all sorts of issues. But she and I talked about that time that Barack Obama yawned his way through testimony of an abortion survivor. What that felt like. Now, I can't say that's the top story of God, but it had to be near the top. I believe the top story is still that redemption is available through Jesus Christ, through the blood of the cross. I have to believe that the gospel, the good news, is still the top news story. After all, it is the good news. But I think of Jesus weeping at the tomb of his friend Lazarus. Weeping. Why? Was it because of disbelief? Look around. These people don't think I can raise Lazarus from the dead. No, you know, I think that would be prideful. The Lord Jesus would not be, could not be prideful. It's not a human emotion God appreciates. Is it because Lazarus was dead? No, because the Lord Jesus was fully human and fully man. And he knew what was going to happen. He knew what he was going to do. He knew what his Father in heaven was going to do. In fact, he said as he prayed, I'm not praying this for my needs. I'm praying it so those around me can understand that you are going to deliver. So why did he weep? Perhaps it's because the God of the universe, who designed us for perfection, to walk with him, to not experience death, smelled it, sensed it, saw it, knew that Lazarus's body was cold inside that tomb for 3 days. So Jesus wept. Maybe that's why he wept. And then, of course, he said, Lazarus, wake up. The womb is supposed to be a place of safety, of warmth. God designed it that way. I wonder if the top story in this United States isn't the fact that 65 million, in fact, over 65 million babies who were in that safe place, that womb, had been killed in that safe place. Now, I think of Jesus standing outside that womb, for he is standing outside the womb. And by the way, he could also be within it. Some of these women who made this mistake, and if you made that mistake and you hear this, the Lord Jesus is anxious to forgive, to wash this in the cross. He is. He can and he will. And none of us here at AFR have any form of hatred for you at all. Far from it. We love you. It's important for you to know. 65 million babies. And I think about the tomb, the place of death. The Lord Jesus wept outside the tomb. Is he weeping outside the womb? We partner with an organization at AFR called Preborn Ministry. It's called Preborn. It's a ministry. You know what it is? It's a market-based competitor to the abortion industry. They provide ultrasounds in the U.S., free ultrasounds. Now, think of this. Think again of the Lord Jesus looking at the place of death, the tomb, knowing that in there is the body of his friend Lazarus, people weeping outside. Christ Jesus could smell the death. In fact, Lazarus' sister said, he's been in the tomb. The smell will be rank. Now think of Jesus standing outside the womb, but we're standing with him. Wouldn't he be looking at us? What are you going to do? Since 2007, Preborn has partnered with pregnancy clinics in the highest abortion cities and regions across the nation. They provide these life-saving ultrasounds. Now, how could a life be saved with an ultrasound? Well, souls were saved when the Lord Jesus brought Lazarus from the tomb. Souls were saved. There were people who looked at that and said, oh my goodness, this is the Son of God. This is the Messiah. He is the one who was to come, and he is here now. A lot of people were brought around by miracles. I know, blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. True, absolutely. And there were some who needed that at that time. It changed the world. So when these mothers see these ultrasounds that you can purchase, you can fund, it allows a mom to hear her baby's heartbeat. So the womb, that place of life, the Lord Jesus can be there, seeing also the life. So what happens is 80% of the moms, 80%, choose to keep their baby. What's 80% of 65 million? It's close to 50 million lives that would not have been lost. It's not just that. These clinics provide mothers who choose life with maternity and baby clothes and diapers and car seats and counseling and much more. All of these services are provided free of charge for up to 2 years of assistance. And think again of what are we to do? The Lord Jesus knows about the abortions. They're not hidden. He knows about our role. It's not about guilt. We can't earn God's love. But we can love God. We can be more like him. You have an opportunity today to reach into a womb on behalf of the Holy Spirit and to put a cloak of protection around the child. All of us do. And Preborn, this organization with whom we partnered at AFR, has a just distinct passion. Not just, I say, to save unborn babies, but to see women come to the Lord Jesus. It's been 17 years. And Preborn clinics have counseled over 500,000 women who are considering abortion. More than 280,000 lives have been saved, and more than 80,000 women have surrendered their lives to Jesus Christ. Again, I picture the tomb versus the womb. The world has turned the womb into all too often a place of death. It is a vandalizing of God's design. It is abhorrent in that way, beyond just the loss of life. It's the vandalizing of a place of safety created by God. In fact, if I think about it, remember how we start the show? Let there be light. When the sperm and egg meet, have you ever seen the videos? You know what it is? It's a burst of light. Let there be light. You have an opportunity today to partner with us and Preborn to cast a cloak of protection around those babies in that place of life so that it not become like the tomb. It's not resurrecting life as the Lord Jesus did with Lazarus, but what if we could help the Savior not weep a little bit? We can't earn redemption. It cannot be done. The cost is too high. But we can show love. We could say, hey, Jesus, could we arrange it so that you don't have to weep as often today? I think we can do that. So what we ask is that each one of us pray, become prayerful, and we think about becoming an ambassador, really. We're ambassadors for Christ, those of us who've accepted the Lord Jesus on mission with him, agree to be changed with him, by him. We ask for a $28 gift or more. $28 provides one woman seeking an abortion a free ultrasound, gives them the opportunity to choose life for her baby. $140 provides four free ultrasound sessions, reaching five women with the message of life. So perhaps you could sponsor five ultrasounds. So our goal is to save 4,500 babies. And I'm going to be honest with you, as we always are, we are far behind on this goal. Part of this is due to the fact that we had the horrible weather that kept a lot of the people out of AFR HQ. We need your help more than we normally do. So here's what you can do. It's a phone number. 877-616-2396. 877-616-2396, or donate online at afr.net. One more time with the phone number, 877-616-2396. And I would take one more comparison from the tomb to the womb. Lazarus, I don't think, could have expected to have been resurrected. After all, he was fully dead. But babies, they do expect to be protected. How do we know? If you've seen the video of the sperm and the egg meeting, you see the moment of light, let there be light. If you've ever seen a video of an abortionist tool entering the womb, then you've seen the video of those little babies attempting to fight the tool away to save their bodies given to them by God Almighty. Let us not let Jesus weep as much. Please call 877-616-2396. Make a donation of $140 to Preborn. 80% of women who get these free ultrasounds choose life. 877-616-2396. We'll come back with news and analysis. I'm Todd Herman. This is The Disciples' View. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. I had an incredible conversation yesterday. We have a new video service that we do for my podcast, which is called The Todd Herman Show. And in fact, I had Walker Wildman on last week. You could see that. He's very, very skilled evangelist and doing great things for the kingdom, fighting against Apple and winning, Apple computers, Apple software, etc., the iTunes. And we had a video interview with a gentleman named Michael Woolworth. He's a senior director of broadcast media for the Bible League International. You can go to video.thetoddhermanshow.com. That video is a subscription service, by the way. Helps us be uncancelable as a podcast. God's blessed us financially. That is a subscription service. The audio version of this is available for free. Always will be, because it's about moving forward the Word of God in connection to politics. You can get that at thetoddhermanshow.com. But I'd encourage you to get the video service to be able to see things like this. Michael Woolworth came on, and I expected to hear a discussion about the handing out of Bibles. That's what they do. $5 per Bible. But the fact is, there's far more to what they do, because the lives they're changing and how they're being changed and who they're meeting, they're meeting pastors, as you'll hear, who have been tortured, beaten, nearly killed by tyrannical governments, have gone home, and then received a knock on the door from one of their torturers with a question that led the torturer to the Lord Jesus. Young women who've been violated, beaten, tortured, who should have fled their countries, but they did something else. God is on the march. And as so often is the case, when tyranny reigns, Christianity thrives. Michael Woolworth with the Bible League discussed handing out Bibles in Malaysia.
But one of the pastors that I had met, a man by the name of Jacob, he was about 70. He said, "Michael, let me tell you what happened when I planted a church 30 years ago." Now, that's a Muslim-majority country, Todd, and where he was at, he said, you know, we had a new congregation of about 20 families. He said, we had one Ebon language Bible, and they would unbind that Ebon language Bible, and members of that congregation, 20 families, would be given different books of the Bible. They would take that home, handwrite scriptures, right, just to have something to take into their week to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And they would come back, shuffle the stack, take a new book of the Bible, and by the end of about a 3-4 month period, they had a full New Testament Bible. And he had asked that congregation, okay, make a copy for yourselves, right, handwrite a copy for yourselves, and let's anticipate growth. We want God to grow our congregation, even though we're in the midst of terrible oppression here. And I can tell you, God brought that growth. But Todd, that's how desperate Christians are around the world. Even in the age of technology, they feared going to a copy shop and trying to copy a Bible. And I can tell you that the Bible League has since been able to equip them with the Word of God in the Ebon language there off the South China Sea in the country of Malaysia.
The discussion that we had, I was not alone in the room as we had this discussion. I have a producer of my podcast, Nayana, a young woman, and a partner who also helps produce, Christopher. They're both younger, and they both stopped what they were doing. Obviously, Nayana was producing the show, but there's producing, and then there's stopping to listen as you produce. And she did, and watched. So the Bible League's mission, it's a great one, as you'll hear here.
We engage people in the Word of God all over the world. We've done this for 86 years. We've reached about 65 million people with the gospel by God's grace. We're on track to give out our 1 billionth Bible or printed resource in 2024. But, you know, for Bible League, there's not a place on earth, Todd, where we minister, where we're not connected to the local evangelical church. Why? Because that's the framework in the Bible, isn't it? Paul never considered the gospel to have been preached in a region until there were churches set up and there were officers, you know, elders and deacons in place, and he could say with surety, hey, we've established the gospel here, right? And so Bible League follows that same framework.
See, the framework is not really their framework. It's God's framework. And they're going into the world, not part of it, and thank God they're not part of it. We live in America where there is an increasing amount of oppression against Christians.
It had been said at some time earlier, it was social oppression, just social oppression. I would remind people that in the separate country of California, you can, it's very difficult to become a foster parent or an adoptive parent unless you will actively pretend that boys are girls. If you will not do that, no luck. Similarly, in the separate country of Washington, good luck even being a foster parent, let alone adopting, unless you are willing to pretend that boys are girls. And of course, we've seen the attacks on churches, the COVID lockdowns. Well, they targeted churches. In those states like California, Oregon, and Washington, liquor stores, marijuana stores stayed open. Churches were shut. Some of them have gone forever, those that obeyed. Others that said, no, we cannot obey that order. Romans 13, well, that's not okay if you're violating the word of God. But America is America. We're not facing yet what some of the world is facing. The Bible League goes into some areas of the world where evil is thick and reminiscent of Babylon.
We went into Tanzania, Africa, and we had about 200 people that had come to saving faith. This was a place marked by steep spiritual darkness, ancestral worship. Todd, they had sacrificed kids in recent decades. I mean, that's how bad it was.
Like not abortion. We do that here via mass abortion, but you're talking about religious. Wait, really? Actually, still?
Absolutely. Yeah. You know, witchcraft is very prevalent there. But I can tell you, as names were read, people came forward, and I was one of those giving out Bibles in the Swahili language, and one of the women that I gave it to, I'll never forget Mabel, 65 years of age. She was the former village witch doctor. Todd, she, you know, for 6.5 decades of her life, she was all about shamanism, voodoo, black magic, all of that stuff, right?
Wow.
And when I gave her the Bible, she said in the Swahili language, there was a pastor that was bilingual, and he said, Michael, she's saying 10 times loud each time, I'm a new creation in Christ. A new creation in Christ. And Todd, I can tell you, it was actually Super Bowl week that we were there. And I can tell you, I've never been to a Super Bowl pregame rally, but I knew this was a lot better. This was a lot louder, a lot more fervent where I was at there in Tanzania, Africa.
Michael Woolworth with Bible League International. And the full video, of course, at at video.thetoddhermanshow.com. When I listened to him celebrate and watched him, he was reliving that. I have a little tiny bit of training. Well, no, that's not true. I have 3 years of training plus another 6 months of seeking a certificate, which I got, in helping people who have family members who are borderline personality disorder and kids, young people suffering from severe mental illness. And acute mental illness. Some of it goes away. Often it can, and sometimes there are conditions people live with their whole life. But I mention that because one of the things we're trained to do is to spot a kid who's having a trauma flashback. There's signs for this. You can see it if you know what you're looking for. There's techniques to help kids come out of those flashbacks. I think I've mentioned that on the program, that God had equipped us that way. I watched Michael in a spiritually positive, Holy Spirit-filled flashback as he re-experiences these things with the Bible League and taking the Word of God out, and it never fails. It cannot return void. These are countries where people aren't allowed to have Bibles, that you can be killed for having them. For instance, think of the Hindu faith. Christians in Hindu countries face terrible persecution.
In the country of India, I mean, you can see what, you know, what is the fruit of living steeped in spiritual darkness? It is poverty. Todd, I'm not talking about, a little bit of poverty. I'm talking about extreme poverty where there is no progress being made. These are people living in the grips of Hinduism, Islam, lots of other religions. But when God comes into a village and the gospel comes, you see people, they have hope, right? And India is a place, Todd, where you could be thrown in jail. If you tell somebody what Jesus means to you as a believer, and they feel threatened by that, because it's a Hinduistic national government there, they can throw you in jail. There's signs on the outskirts of towns that say what? It's illegal to carry a Bible. No evangelizing here. Why? Because those followers of Hinduism and all those other false religions, they know that Christianity is a serious threat. People are coming to saving faith. They're free in Christ. And I can tell you, Todd, some of the people that I've met, there was a pastor in his family. They were falsely accused of forcibly converting people to Christianity. Okay. Hinduism, you know, is everything in that country, but they drowned the whole family in a reservoir. They were trying to send a message that Christianity is not welcome here. And why is that? Again, it is a threat because God is at work. He's bringing people to saving faith. They are.
And as he brings these people to saving faith, he's also bringing the people around them to witness the saving faith. And none of this is more remarkable than what happened to a pastor named Katsu. Before you hear this, let me ask you a question. If you were involved in you wouldn't be the rager. But if you had someone road raging at you, behind you honking, giving you the middle finger, screaming at you, and you went home, and 2 hours later, your doorbell rang, you opened the door, and it was that person, what would your heart do? Be honest, what would your heart do? Listen to this. A pastor named Katsu had an incredible witness from communist China.
Let me tell you the story of Pastor Katsu. He's probably about 50. He serves just outside of Beijing. I won't identify his village. But Todd, he's been beaten probably 20, 25 times over the course of his ministry, jailed in most of those cases. Most recently, he was beaten so severely he could not get up for a week. But they let him go like they typically did. His wife was relieved to find out he had not been executed for his faith. That happens there. But I can tell you about a week later after his release, a knock came on his door. It was in the evening, somewhat reluctant to open the door, right? But who did he find on the other side of that door? A man by the name of Hayo. Who was Hayo? Hayo was the bitter atheist interrogator that time after time had beaten this man severely. It told him every time to never speak of Jesus again. And Todd, he was at his doorstep with a question that had to be answered that was burning in his heart all week long. And it was simply this. Why were you at such peace when we were beating you? So this pastor Katsu would lovingly open his door, open his Mandarin Bible, lead this bitter atheist to faith in Christ. And together, Todd, they have seen more than 1,000 people come to Christ. As people know about this Hayo, right? He had a reputation of coming down hard on pastors and Christians in that part, just outside of Beijing.
That's phenomenal. And it's familiar. The early apostles and the walls of a prison being shaken down. And people coming to Jesus having watched that. The Bible League, doing this all around the world with your help. $5 per Bible. Michael Woolworth told us about a young girl in the Middle East and her remarkable stand for Christ.
Met a young girl by the name of Aria, 19 years of age. She said, Michael, I was a devout Muslim. I read my Bible. I read my Quran, said my prayers 5 times a day. And Todd, as we went around that area, we could hear the Islamic call to prayer. And when you see people drop and face Mecca, you could tell they were very, very devout in their faith. Aria said, that was my story. But when none of that brought peace, there was a Christian friend, somebody who stayed involved in her life, who said, you know, come learn about Jesus. And so Bible League developed a Bible study in all the languages of the world, virtually, where people can come over about an 8 to 12 week period, and they can learn who is Jesus. How is he both God and man? What's it mean to die to self? What's it mean to put on Jesus in the day to day? And so young Aria would come to that study with about 15 others, again, would learn the answers to that, an inductive Bible study through the Gospel of John and what I call Christianity 101. She became a believer. She would name the name of Jesus. She still lived at home with her parents, Todd. She went home. Her mother rummaged in her room, found her Bible study booklet, gave it to her father, who, as a radicalized man, beat his own daughter nearly to death. It didn't end there. He called the authorities. He had some inroads there. They labeled her an infidel, took her to a remote cell where they beat her. They violated her. They even tortured her by pulling fingernails out of either hand. I know that's somewhat graphic, but Todd, that's what people are up against. They kept her for a couple weeks, little food, little water, no outside communication. But they made a big mistake when they unleashed a fired up Christian in the Middle East there. And I can tell you, young Aria, she got involved with an evangelical church just outside of Cairo, Egypt, not far from the current conflict. They have led about 300 people to Christ. Again, they hear of the willingness of this young lady who didn't grow bitter, from all that she went through, she grew bold. And again, Todd, that's something that's happening only miles from the current conflict. And that's what we see at Bible League. God's given me that tremendous responsibility and privilege to travel the far reaches of the earth. And again, I find these amazing people like Aria, who love their enemies. They count it all joy to suffer for the Lord Jesus. And again, there's a simple prayer today from people like Aria. She said, you know, when I asked her, Todd, hey, how can we pray for you, sister? She did not once say, hey, Michael, get on the Todd Herman show and pray for an end to our suffering. She said, no. She said, pray that we'll love God with every fiber of our being. We'll obey him in every circumstance. We'll see those around us, not as the enemy, but as the mission field. And she was quick to say, Michael, Christians here need Bibles. We are in a part of the world where there's a dearth of Bibles, Todd. People cannot access them. But again, that's what Bible League does. And again, a joy for me to come on today and invite your listeners into what God is doing, even in the Middle East, only miles from the conflict.
You can today provide 10 Bibles for $50. It's that easy. And God's word continues to be spread into these worlds. Do it for young Aria. You can go to Send Bibles Now, sendbiblesnow.org, sendbiblesnow.org, $5 per Bible. And just mention AFR when you do that, just so that they know where this is coming from. Not because we seek credit, we don't. All the credit goes to the Lord Jesus. We'll come back now with actual news. Imagine that, an analysis. This is The Disciples' View. I'm Todd Herman. Welcome back to Disciples View. I'm Todd Herman. So Nikki Haley, and I understand, please, I really do, I entirely respect your decision to vote for whom you choose, and as you pray and you think prayerfully about who you're going to vote for president, I have absolute respect for your decisions. We may differ, but know this, I really have no animus towards you or particularly Nikki Haley. I just want to analyze something. She's not going to win. It's not going to happen. It has never been going to happen. So what is the game? It came out this week that Carrie Lake, who had run for governor of Arizona, I mean, Arizona's vote counting is a ridiculous mess. Their voting system in Maricopa County is, if you wanted fraud, that would be how to go get it. She's now running for the Senate. She released an audio of her receiving a bribe offer. And it came from a top Republican in the state, apparently the GOP chairman there. I looked at how the media reported this, the media from her state, how they reported it. And their take on the story was that this clumsy bribe attempt, it played right into Carrie Lake's hands. That was their take. The important part of this is that it was clumsy and it played into her hands. Not that someone tried to bribe her out of running for the Senate. Someone with power, apparently is the GOP chairman in the state of Arizona. So what is the game with Nikki Haley staying in the race? She's not going to win. I don't want to bear false witness, and so I'll just tell you very, very specifically, as specifically as I can without breaking complete confidence. I had been on the leadership team at the Republican National Committee back when I was Republican. I'm still a conservative, but first I'm a Christian. And then about five places down, I'm a conservative, constitutional conservative, by the way. And I'm no longer Republican because of what I experienced in Washington, D.C. One of the things that came to me secondhand from a guy who is a servant of the Lord Jesus. And my experience with him, not my guess, my experience with him is that he's unimpeachable in terms of character. I mean, he's not Jesus, so I'm sure he makes mistakes. And in fact, he came to me and confessed that he'd made a mistake, maybe even an ethical lapse, but so I shouldn't say unimpeachable, but trustworthy. He was in the room, he told me, when someone tried to bribe Michael Steele, the former GOP chair, who, for the record, treated me wonderfully at that committee. I have deep, warm feelings about Michael, and he's flawed. They were trying to bribe Michael Steele out of the race for GOP chair, and Michael wasn't going to win. There was a lot of animus towards Michael. And at one point, someone offered him a lot of money, and it wasn't enough. And the person who offered it, a lady, said, Michael, what do you want? Do you want me to give you my 401k? And according to my friend, Michael said, that's a good start. People are getting rich in politics. We know this, but they're getting filthy rich and permanently rich and generationally rich. Just as the Lord Jesus said, just as God told us. This is what happens with human kings. You wanted a human king? I'll get one for you. He's going to be super tall and good looking. His name is Saul. Look how good looking he is. And of course, David and the whole series of kings. But there's really only one king that makes any difference to us eternally. So what is the game with Nikki Haley? It's just to figure out how many chips can you have that you can cash out and get paid to get out of the race. That's a guess, but it's an educated one. There is hope, right? There is. Even in the so-called secular world, there's hope. It's a hopeful sign to me that some people in big media, like Wall Street Journal editor-in-chief Emma Tucker, know the state of play in their profession. I hope some of them understand it's not just because people have more channels from which to choose.
I think there's a very specific challenge for the legacy brands like the New York Times and like the Wall Street Journal. I mean, interestingly, when there's a big news event, a big world event, people still come to the legacy brands. We still have a lot of trust. But I think you only have to go back. I think we have to maintain that trust, and we have to work at maintaining it in a way that we didn't have to do not so long ago. So if you go back really not that long ago, as I say, we owned the news. We were the gatekeepers, and we very much owned the facts as well. If it said it in the Wall Street Journal, the New York Times, then that was a fact. Nowadays, people can go to all sorts of different sources for the news, and they're much more questioning about what we're saying. So it's no longer good enough for us just to say, this is what happened, or here's this is the news. We have to explain our working.
The fact is this, that the legacy media painted itself into a corner on some key and specific issues where they just agreed to be owned. One of them is pharma. And I hate to say it, but the Wall Street Journal is still there. Although they break with others on the green topic and sustainability, it's better than most. I would suggest if she wants to save her publication, relocate her staff. For real. Relocate the editorial staff. Take them out of New York and place them around the country. All around the country. They can work via Zoom. Why am I saying that? Because if you're going to write for America, you need to live in America. And Manhattan has very little to do with America as a whole. On this program, we thank the Lord for placing the supposedly wise on tall towers of shaking sand with our feature called The Tower of Babbling.
You know about the biblical truth of the Tower of Babel. A Disciple's View presents...
We have the strongest economy in the world today. Right now, today, the United States of America has the strongest economy in the world.
The Tower of Babbling.
These are three audio clips that tend to show that God does place people up high so we can say, look at their human wisdom. And just reminded that, wait, there's no wisdom, but actually God's wisdom. It's a hopeful sign that some people in entertainment like Jerry Seinfeld are responding to the babbling of some people on the left. He's done placating leftists who obsess about everything being to do with race.
I have noticed that most of the guests are mostly white males of 22 episodes.
Yeah,
that you've
let's
had.
Get into that.
No, but you
take a look over here, Peter. What do you see? A lot of whiteies. What's going on here? People think it's the census or something. I mean, this has got to represent the actual pie chart of America. Who cares? It's just funny. You know, funny is the world that I live in. You're funny, I'm interested. You're not funny, I'm not interested. And I have no interest in gender or race or anything like that. But everyone else is kind of with their little calculating, is this the exact right mix? You know, I think that's, to me, it's anti-comedy.
Jerry Seinfeld, very focused, but I think he's clever, because I think he's actually making social commentary there. And incidentally, let's play a game. Can you guess the race of the very important entertainment reporter who wants more people of color to have very important entertainment reporter jobs? Yeah, he's white. I don't think he's resigned to say, hey, how about a person of color? Hate that vernacular. Take my place. Second audio clip in our Tower Babbling segment. It's bad, but hardly surprising, sign that an alleged Republican, Congresswoman Maria Salazar, is calling for mass amnesty for illegal immigrants.
It's very important because this is the only bill in Congress that is bipartisan. And not only that, it accomplishes exactly what the country needs: to seal the border, secure the border. And once that is done, once that border is secured, then we look back and we give some type of dignity to those people who have been here for more than 5 years, who are contributing with your economy. Like my colleague said, this is dignity is not an immigration reform law. This is a national security, it's an economic bill. Because you know that the business sector is saying, we need hands. Those hands are here, we just need to legalize them. I'm not talking about citizenship. I'm talking about dignity, not amnesty. Dignity.
This bill has the only bipartisan support. I just want to underscore that. You know, there have been a number of resolutions, a number of bills put forward. This is the only bipartisan bill in Congress right now.
Those words used to mean things, bipartisan. Right now, for a lot of the electorate, means, okay, extra bad. You cannot legislate dignity. You're talking about citizenship. How else do you make it possible for them to be employed and live here and have the dignity without being a citizen? It's clear where this is headed. Last audio clip on our Tower Babbling segment. It is what we expect from people who run Joe Biden: non-answers and lies about the state of what used to be our southern border.
What is the administration's response to the 14 House Democrats who voted with Republicans the other day to denounce the vote open borders policies of the Biden administration?
What do you mean? What's our comments on what?
A response to 14 Democrats in the House believing that the president has open border policies.
Look, we've been very clear. We want to deal with what's going on at the border. That's why we're having these negotiations in the Senate with Republicans and Democrats. The president understands that this is an issue that matters to the American people. And we feel like those conversations that are happening, those negotiations, are headed in the right direction. And so the president understands. He put the border security, right? So that's part of the supplemental. His request on funding for border security was part of that national security ask, that emergency ask. So we believe we need to do more. The president understands we need to do more. And we see Republicans and Democrats in Senate want to do more.
Is it still the position of the administration that the border is secure?
Our position is that we need to do more at the border. We have to do more at the border. That's why these negotiations are currently happening. That's our position.
And is it the position of the administration that the efforts to impeach Secretary Mayorkas are unconstitutional?
What we believe is that what House Republicans are doing is playing political games. That's what we believe.
Okay, and they're that's not enough doing of that,
their
Randy.
Jobs, the jobs
I can't
that the American
stand it
people
anymore.
Want them to be doing.
All right, that's a wrap for today's Tower of Babbling.
That was the Tower of Babbling.
I'm just following my orders here.
On A Disciple's View.
Wrap up the show today with a personal observation. And I'd shared earlier this metaphor as we were talking about this pastor who got a knock on his door from a man who had tortured him for following Christ. This was in communist China. And that man came to Christ because he said, how did you have that peace? while we were torturing you. And that was with the Bible League. We were talking about that. And I'd use this metaphor of, what if someone knocked on your door after having road raged you? Where would your heart be? And as I spoke about that, I realized I'd never confessed to this audience something that I did when I got outside the Holy Spirit. And it's deeply embarrassing, and I'm ashamed of it. And I love the way it ended. I was under a huge amount of stress, self-applied stress. Had to get my daughter over to Seattle with her friends. I'd worked all day. It was going to be late. I had to get over there and work. I had to give this speech, and very stressful. And I needed to buy gas. And this teenager wouldn't move her car, even though she was done filling up with gas. She wouldn't move it. The entire gas station was full. It was a Friday. It was during the summer. People getting on the freeway. She refused to move her car. She even put her hands up like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do, old man? So I honked. I drive a large truck, high rise, because of where we live, the property. It's good, useful on the property. Honking at her, this teenage girl. She walked up to my truck. I rolled down the window. She began to cry. She said, I don't know how to back up. I said, I am so sorry. God forgive me. I'm Todd. I'm Heather. Heather, what I did to you is unforgivable. I am so embarrassed. I'll back up. She goes, you'll lose your place in line. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'll back up. Will you ever forgive me for this? I can't believe the way I treated you. Are you okay? Yeah. I said, I hope God will forgive me. And she said, oh, he already has, sir. He already has. And I think implied in that was that she forgave me. Man, it's easy to fall outside the Spirit. God is so good. So good with grace and reminders. I wish I could find her and thank her for that. The last thing she wanted to see me, though. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. And because we believe, we speak. Because He first loved us, we speak His Word. We walk in the paths of Jesus Christ to make disciples of all nations. Until we speak again, may the peace of God that surpasses all understanding rest upon you and your family. On behalf of Randy and the AFR team, I'm Todd Herman. This has been A Disciple's View.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.